Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Congratulations, you made it. You made it. Huh? You made it. You're like, what did I do? Gottlieb, it's 3 o'clock in the East. It's not 5 o'clock. It's not beer time. Not beer 30. It's only noon on the West Coast, Gottlieb. What are you talking about? You made it. You made it. You have survived. Summer's over. Football season is here. It's game week. Game week. Game week. We got picks for you on Fridays. We'll move them up on Thursdays periodically when the games dictate as such. But we have some new segments, some new ways in which we are going to make you some money. Lots of stuff going on the Doug Gottlieb Show. And we're going to cover baseball with a bunch of different breaking stuff, if you will. We're also going to cover a little bit of hoops with Manu Ginobili announcing his retirement today. Manu Ginobili, by my estimation, the most impactful foreign player to ever play in the NBA. He's most impactful, best all around. That's a new best all around, right? Like if it's gymnastics, I would say that Dirk won the floor competition, but he won best all around. And then we have some college football with some freshmen, true freshmen, be announced as starting quarterbacks at some historic universities, and we have some NFL to talk about. Let's start with the National Football League. Andrew Luck looked better. We told you that these were baby steps, and he was going to get better. There were other players that didn't play, different types of dress rehearsals. We got to get to Tom Brady, who hung up on some folks in Boston, and I completely understand why, even though how it will be relayed in the media was Tom Brady was defensive over some questions asked about Alex Guerrero. But the breaking story of the moment is Odell Beckham Jr. signs the biggest contract in the history of the wide receiver position. This has become par for the course for the Giants. The Giants have gone all in. Now, remember, it's not just OBJ's contract. They also overpaid for Nate Solder. They overpaid for Olivier Vernon. And now they're going to overpay for Odell Beckham Jr. This, to me, isn't about OBJ and his talent. I don't think anyone would dispute his talent. No one. Odell Beckham Jr., through 3.5, 4 years in the National Football League, has been incredibly productive. Three seasons of over 1,000 yards receiving. And oh yeah, by the way, he only played 12 games in his rookie year. He also catches touchdown passes. He is the best combination in the National Football League. The best combination of speed, athletic ability, and route running. So he's rightfully, and he's only 25 years old. He's rightfully, you got to be like, look, he's the best combination of athletic ability, speed, and route running in the NFL. Like, what's the big deal? Well, four seasons, he did miss four games out of the chute, and he missed, 14 last year. Not his own fault, but availability is a big issue in the National Football League. Maybe more importantly, it's the off-the-field drama, the need for attention, and the need to surround yourself with people like whoever the girl was in the video and whatever the substance was in that video. Everyone I know says OBJ's a good dude, loves football. He shed some of those clingers honors that he's had around him since he arrived in New York. All I can tell you is this. From the high risk, high reward to loading up with three players at the time paid at the tops of their position, to the high risk, high reward of an Odell Beckham Jr. who... You tell me somebody who's a better dude since they got money. I don't know anyone who's like, man, you know what? He wasn't a really good dude, but he got money, and now he's the best. And then you're at the wide receiver position, which is important and is impactful, but it's not the most important. They had a chance to get the quarterback of the future. They had a chance to get young and have a under contract for 4 or 5 years with Sam Darnold, and they didn't do it. They went all in and all in now, and nobody knows how much Eli Manning has left in the tank, and there is no plan B. And oh yeah, by the way, they're highly leveraged. So here's what the Giants have done. The Giants went out and bought a Maserati. You guys ever heard of Maserati? The engine of a Maserati turns me on. It does. It does. Completely and totally. Not going to lie to you. I hear it, I'm like, man, I don't know who the dude or chick is, but I want to ride with them. But you ever have a Maserati breakdown? Oh my gosh. Talk to somebody who owns one. Oil changes, crazy expensive. Gas must be premium. Don't get me started on the insurance. The old, in the NFL, you can't make the tub in the club. I mean, your car's in the shop when you buy a Maserati. Man, they are sweet. Their logo is like that of the devil. Like, man, I love the, I like the look. I like the feel. I like the tires. I like the rims. I like the engine. I like it all. How much is it? Ooh, I got to pay retail for that? So the Giants have paid retail for left tackle, important. Olivier Vernon, important. And wide receiver, important. But the most important part of that franchise is 37 years old and hadn't played well in a couple years. So that's what they've done. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it with Odell Beckham Jr. because what was the rush? It was 3 months ago, 4 months ago, when the owner, John Mara, was like, look, we need to consider trading this guy. We need to open up to all possible options. Why? Because he didn't get it. So all of a sudden he gets it. I was like, oh, now I get it, fellas. 3 months of the offseason, 1 month of the preseason, and he gets it. He's completely healed. I haven't seen a healing that fast since a faith healer came through the South. You are saved. You are healed. So it doesn't mean I don't think he's talented. I do. It doesn't mean I don't understand that you want him happy. You want him to feel like he's, I mean, here's a dude who's been opining for a contract, and this is not a quarterback level contract, but it's a lot of money. But to have him when he has not played a game since that video came out, when he has struggled with health and with adversity with the team in the past, and he's not the most important position on the field, it is a high risk, high reward proposition what the New York Giants have done. And so to anybody who says, like, well, this is not what the Giants usually do. Yes, it is. It's not what the Giants used to do. Now it's what the Giants do.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome in Brian Billick. He is a Super Bowl champion head coach, and you can see him on the NFL Network. Coach, just your immediate reaction when you saw the numbers for OBJ.
Well, you know, I'm long past being shocked by the numbers because every year, every player, every contract, it just keeps going higher and higher and higher at a level that it's unimaginable that we could be. And when you look at the NBA and Major League Baseball and look at the numbers of guaranteed contract, all of it being guaranteed, right. You know, yeah, it's hard to be shocked anymore. But what you're referring to is right. I mean, that's one thing the players do have to understand. The pie is only so big, and that's the unique thing about the NFL cap structure, and that every dollar you give one player has got to come off some other player.
And so the Giants' plan appears to be, hey, let's change our offensive line, solidify that, especially the left side. You know, defensively, obviously they loaded up on some big name players, and they got Odell Beckham Jr. They got Saquon Barkley; those guys under contract next 5 years. What are your thoughts on Eli Manning? Because look, they passed on Sam Darnold, who they could have had under contract for 5 years, and he would have been the heir apparent. Do you like this plan, or would you have liked the Darnold plan instead of having Barkley?
Well, they're two different approaches. Obviously, they're looking at a window where they feel like they can make a run at this thing by giving, you know, OBJ, that kind of contract, using Barkley as their first pick, which I love, by the way, reshuffling that offense. One, certainly, I'm not prepared to say Eli Manning is past his day and can't contribute and be a quarterback that can deliver a championship with the right set of assets around him. Is he getting close to it? Possibly. But no, I can't argue with the approach they're taking, because it is consistent. To have done those other things and to go get Darnold maybe would have not made sense.
That's the voice of Brian Billick from the NFL Network. He's joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Is there any team that has surprised you with how good they've looked, especially with their ones early on in the preseason here?
Well, I'm very rarely shocked at the numbers that come by way of contracts. I've also been around enough to know to not draw any conclusions whatsoever from the preseason. It's just that's a mistake. I do the Ravens games, and I think their frontline players who haven't played a lot, and because they've had the extra game, they played or had two scrimmages with both the Rams and the Indianapolis Colts. They've not played their starters a lot. When they have, with the addition of Michael Crabtree, they've got Willie Snead. I think these young tight ends they've got, if they stay healthy, and Joe Flacco's never looked better. So, yeah, I mean, but that is a team, obviously, I'm focused on because I've seen their preseason games. But to draw conclusions from any preseason, whether a team's 4-0 or 0-4, usually proves to be not a good idea.
You mentioned the Ravens. Having watched Lamar Jackson, first 3 weeks, I didn't feel like he's just more prospect than quarterback. I know he played better in this last preseason game, but what are your thoughts on the different? I mean, like, there's such different quarterbacks, and they're so, you know, Flacco actually looks really, really good. What's your thoughts on their quarterback situation?
Well, Lamar Jackson is certainly an interesting prospect. Right now, in my opinion, he's just that. He's a long way from being on track to be a legitimate pocket quarterback that he's going to have to evolve to. Doesn't mean he can't, and he has progressed. He made a couple throws in the Miami game, subtle throws, little throws, that were encouraging. But in visiting with the Ravens and seeing how they're approaching it, I don't think they believe he is ready to go right now, nor do they need for him to do. Big question for them is, do they keep three quarterbacks with RG3 as the backup, or are they comfortable enough with Lamar Jackson to just go with two?
What do you think they should do?
Well, yeah, the luxury of keeping three is great, but that costs you a good player. They are very deep in the defensive line. They're deep in the secondary. They need some depth at the offensive line position. So if they keep three quarterbacks, it comes at a cost. I don't think Lamar Jackson's ready to step in, and this is a good enough team to play well and make the playoffs. Even if a Joe Flacco gets hurt, they're that good defensively, I think, that an RG3 could probably get them there. I'm not sure Lamar Jackson could. So having said that, my guess is that they're going to keep three.
That's the voice of Brian Billick, who's joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We're a week away from game week. Obviously, we got game week in college football. It's getting down to cut time. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost probably their best wide receiver. And, of course, this reopens calls to, hey, maybe Dez Bryant. Dez has openly opined to be on he wants to be on a winning team. Like, I know a couple of winning teams who he's reached out for, and to this point, they're not interested. There's some talk with the Patriots, with Eric Decker announcing his retirement, and they had some cuts of wide receivers. What's the best situation, do you think, legitimately, to bring in a Dez Bryant?
Well, I think he needs to go someplace where there's a very strong presence at quarterback. That can deal with Dez Bryant. I don't know that Blake Bortles is that guy in Jacksonville. Certainly they are a good team. They're a winning team. And it's not like he has to go in and be their sole provider in terms of production, because they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to play good defense. But to put him with a quarterback like Blake Bortles that is still developing, still trying to establish himself, that could be difficult.
This is Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What about Bortles and his struggles? You got a Teddy Bridgewater who's out there with the Jets. You mentioned RG3. Last year he had his best year as a pro by far. But as was pointed out, even, like, look, The guy wins a Super Bowl championship, Doug Peterson, and he points out that the Jags didn't go for it on, you know, when they got the ball 59 seconds to go, AFC championship game, that as much as they did a really good job of stabilizing the quarterback situation, there's a limit there with Blake Bortles. What are your thoughts on the Jaguars quarterback situation?
Well, Bortles, yeah, you'd like to see him continue to develop and be that guy. I mean, he can be very serviceable for what they're doing. Is he that guy that, you know, you've got to throw the ball 40, 45 times to win in a game? I don't think he's that guy. He needs to become that guy. And certainly he's with the right team to give him that opportunity to go forward. I like Blake Bortles coming out. I've not seen the growth that you'd like to see, all but with a good season last year. This will be an interesting year. Knowing you're with a good team, knowing, okay, this is where I can take shots. I don't have to, because we're a good enough team. To see him make those kind of decisions, that's what I want to see out of Blake Bortles.
But Brian Billick joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, of course, Super Bowl champion, head coach. And, you know, one of the things you're able to do, you're winning in Minnesota as offense coordinator, and then you immediately were winning in Baltimore. So you didn't have to really change completely you changed kind of the culture from massive losing culture in Baltimore to competing for a Super Bowl. In the AFC, you look and you're like, look, Jacksonville's got talent, obviously New England. I'd say obviously Pittsburgh. Out west, there's a lot of talk about the L.A. Chargers, but this is a franchise that has gotten off to poor start after poor start after poor start. How hard is that mentality to change?
It is if you don't have a group of players. I always, when I look at a situation like that, it's like, okay, where do they draw on their strength to say, we're okay, we can get out of this. You know, we don't have to panic. Now, the good thing about the Chargers, like you're talking about, they have been down early. And lost some games and been able to fight their way back into it. So that's a reference frame that's good for them compared to you look at a team like Cleveland Browns. That's the difficulty when adversity hits Cleveland. Where do they lean on? Who do they look to amongst themselves to say, no, we're okay, we can get out of this? When you're 1-31, that's tough. So you've got to have now, obviously, like the Chargers, and you got a guy like Phillip Rivers, and you typically are going to look to the quarterback to a degree or other key players, veteran players on your team, to have that strength to, hey, don't panic. We've been here before. We know what we're doing. And that's going to be the challenge for those teams. The AFC West, is certainly not the best division in football, but it's certainly going to be the most interesting, I think, this year, simply because of the questions they have, the quarterback changes in Denver, obviously what's going on with Kansas City, and what happens with now the reemergence of Derek Carr and John Gruden being back in Oakland.
Let me ask you really quickly about Kansas City. I mean, it appears to be fun, right? Like, he can really throw the football. I mean, he's got incredible arm talent, and they got guys to hand it to, guys to throw it to. They got all the weaponry they need, but the defense is not exactly stout. And, you know, with all that reward of the deep throws and all that arm talent comes a lot more risk than all the regular season wins they had with Alex Smith. It feels a little Big 12-y, right? It feels like, you know, there'll be some nights when they put 50 on the board, and there'll be some nights when there's a lot of picks and they're fighting an uphill battle. What do you think of how Kansas City ultimately plays out?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because they're obviously making the move to say, okay, we need more than what we've had, and what we've had has been pretty good. I'm, you know, here and live in the Mid-Atlantic area, and they're all excited about Alex Smith here in Washington. You know, so one man's trash is another man's treasure. We'll see in Kansas City and the approach that they're going to take. Just like I said earlier about Blake Bortles, it's going to be a matter of whether Mahomes can step up and can he be that 40 and 45 throw guy. And in throwing it 40 and 45 times, yeah, he could have three touchdowns, but does he also have three interceptions? You know, it's one thing to be that gunslinger and throw it up and have no fear, but you can't have the turnovers that go with it, particularly when your defense looks to be maybe not quite what it has been in the past. So that's going to be the question on him. Yeah, we know he can throw it around. He's going to make spectacular plays. But can he do that in a 2-to-1 ratio, which is the minimum you're looking for out of a top-end quarterback, two touchdowns for every interception?
Great stuff. Brian Billick, I want to ask you really quickly about the X-Tech shoulder pads. I know if you use the promo code SEASON, you can get 10% off this order. What separates the X-Tech shoulder pads from others?
Well, all we're talking about is removing the head from the game, aren't we? And obviously that means now you have to go to the shoulder pads as being a primary source of your protection. It's lightweight, allows a greater range of motion. It's got the XRD technology, which is a patent that no one else has that. They're in 29 of the 32 NFL clubs, seven CFL teams, 400 colleges like Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State. Players like Khalil Mack, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Melvin Gordon are all finding that X-Tech pads is the way to go to protect yourself. And I encourage coaches and players, high school players, to go to @XTechPads on Instagram and see what we're talking about.
You can check them out on the NFL Network. Of course, that's XTechPads.com. Promo code is SEASON. Brian Billick, Super Bowl champion head coach. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Let's get to the Tom Brady situation. So Tom Brady, and this happens in this happens in a lot of major markets. For years, he's been asked to come on other shows, and he can't because he gets paid to come on Kirk and Callahan, which is a big local show. And so Kirk and Callahan, I think, is the top-rated morning show in Boston. Don't hold me to that because it's varied. WBNZ started beating WEEI. These are local radio wars, but whatever. Basically, what happened was this. Alex Guerrero has apparently worked his way back into some sort of good graces, or that's how it's being reported, that Alex Guerrero is now on the sideline with the team, and they wanted to ask some questions. Now, let me first have Kirk and Callahan's back. Anytime we have a guest and there is a major story, we tell them, like, listen, we have to ask at least one question about this story. Have to. Ryan, can you help me out here? Who was the last guest? I'm trying to think that we turned down. I think it was DeAndre Ayton we turned down at the Final Four. That's the last, what I would say, big guest we turned down because he didn't want us, it wasn't DeAndre. It was his people said, we don't want to answer any questions about Arizona. Like, no questions about Arizona. Is that about right, Ryan? Was that the last time this happened?
Yes, I do believe that is the last week I can recall that someone had very strict rules on what can and cannot be asked.
Okay, so, and look, this happens. It happens in sports where you're like, look, we get you a guest comes on. He's going to come on because he's got to promo something. Or again, going to come on because he already, I'll come on, but you can't ask me about this. And then I was like, look, I'm not doing my job unless I ask you a question or maybe a question, a follow-up question on it. You answer it however you'd like to answer it. You know it's coming, but I have to ask the question. That's generally the way it works. Do we have the full sound, guys, or do you want me to just simply, I have the trick. Okay, so here's the full sound of Kirk and Callahan asking Tom Brady about Alex Guerrero.
We saw the reports this weekend that that Alex was on the team plane, which he wasn't for the second half of last year, I guess, and not on the sideline. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he was with me this last week, so it was, yeah.
What changed in him not being on the team plane last year and this year?
You know, I'm not getting into all that.
Okay, when I ran into him at the Super Bowl last year in Minneapolis, when I talked to him there, he had said in his opinion that all this stuff had been overblown, that he and Belichick actually had a pretty good relationship even then. Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Okay. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows it's well documented how, you know, the work that he and I do together.
No, I know. I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out because I saw the reports this weekend that he's traveling with the team. Was he on the sideline on Friday?
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
So, look, they got the click and the phone line, and as Isaac Lohenkron pointed out, he calls from a landline, which is super, super classy. Who was it, Ryan, who you said last week always calls from a landline? Like, always a landline guy.
Do you remember
that
Chris one? Sims.
Chris Sims is a landline guy. Solid Chris Sims out of NBC Sports. I mean, it's a quarterback thing, and of course, Chris Sims formerly worked with the Patriots after playing football. Maybe it's a Patriots thing. Hey, we always call from landlines. Guys, we always call from landlines. Don't say anything at a press conference and always call from landlines. Kirk Minahan, I will support him in asking the first question and even the follow-up question. But once he says, I don't want to get into all of that, now you're running the risk of getting hung up on. Or Tom Brady coming back going, what the hell, fellas? What the hell? Now, you can keep going with the, he was trying to make it seem like the everyone saying was a big deal wasn't a big deal. And he was, but whatever you're trying to say, you get one, maybe I give you a follow up. You get to three, and now you're running the risk of getting hung up on. And look, to Kirk and Callahan, this is kind of like, oh, look, we ask the questions everybody wants to know the answers to. That's what we do. It brings publicity to their show, and it makes Tom Brady look it to people who don't, who aren't spending the time to read the transcript or just listen to the audio. It makes Tom Brady look like a jerk. I mean, you hung up on somebody. Who hangs up on somebody? You ever get hung up on? Makes him look like a jerk. But in truth, he answered the question. He's like, look, I really don't want to talk about that. Again, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. That's enough. He's done. I understand why the question was asked. He actually answered the first question. I even understand because Tom Brady did not make a full stop at the end of his answer why the follow-up was asked. Once you go for three, it's too much. It's too much.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Matt Holliday of the Colorado Rockies. Again, he joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Matty, how are you?
What's up, Doug?
Sorry that we haven't been able to connect for breakfast. I'm going to try and how early, like I just texted you, how early a riser are you? Because I got to go in and do Cowherd tomorrow. Huh?
Not probably early enough for you to have it done before you have to be there.
All right. Well, maybe I'll schlep back. We'll figure out a way to make it work.
All right.
Okay. So you joined us. It was like 3 weeks ago, right? 3 weeks ago. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go and play back in the bigs again. There had to be a level of trepidation when you show up in Double A after playing with the Yankees last year. What was that experience like for you?
Honestly, I really enjoyed it. We spent 4 days in Grand Junction, which is rookie level. There's some kids from high school, the college, they're just fresh out of the draft. So that was fun, a good experience, kind of going back to rookie ball and kind of seeing, where those guys are and just kind of, I had my boys with me and the whole family. So it was cool. They got to take batting practice on the field with the guys and sit in the dugout. And I really enjoyed it. Just trying to enjoy the process and enjoy every day. And really just a kind of a perspective going in was that. And my perspective coming to this whole experience is to just kind of see where it leads and just enjoy it. And really with no expectations and no urgency and just kind of trying to be where I'm at. And it was an enjoyable experience. And then on to AAA in Albuquerque and the same sort of deal, just kind of doing the thing, just being part of the team and traveling. And the boys got to kind of do the same thing and be out on the field and take batting practice on the field. So I really actually really enjoyed it and obviously culminating and getting a chance to come back up to the major leagues.
It wasn't like it clicked right away though. It took a couple of days before you started kind of hitting. Like I was reading, there's a couple of sites and like the Rockies, they shouldn't be all that fired up at Matt Holliday. You know, who knows about him playing in left field and he's struggling with triple A pitch. And then it seemed to click. Did it feel good the whole time or was there something that all of a sudden you're like, okay, I feel like I'm back?
I was confident pretty much right away in how I felt physically and how I felt hitting. And like I said, that doesn't always translate to results right away. And there was some timing stuff. Just like anybody else that jumps back into this deal, even in spring training, when you haven't seen live pitching and haven't seen 100 miles an hour fastballs and a good bit of time, it takes some adjustment from a timing standpoint, from your eyes adjusting to seeing spin, to seeing different kinds of pitchers and recognizing pitches from different angles. And so there's a lot that goes into sort of getting the whole package, sort of feeling comfortable. But as far as my skills and my ability to hit the ball the way I'm accustomed to and the way my body was reacting to days and games and pool games and playing the field, I was very confident that that I could still do it at a high level and felt like that, you know, it was just a matter of time before I really started feeling comfortable at the plate, and that seemed to come pretty quick. And here I am. So I feel good. And my body feels good. I feel comfortable in the box. And so it was, like I said, it was one of those things where it maybe didn't look good every time, but I felt good about it in the process of it, and was trying to just enjoy it by day. And here I am.
Okay, so for people who don't know, I think it was Friday night, right? You were flying. It was last Friday night. You were flying from Albuquerque to Colorado, and I think I mistakenly leaked news. You guys had on your IG page, or maybe it was your wife's IG page. That was Ethan. Ethan's your son's IG page. Of course, I follow your son on Instagram. It was like Jets and Colorado, right? And so I'm like, oh, I tweeted out congrats, and Rockies fans are like, what are you talking about, congrats? Like, we don't even know if he's getting called up. And then it wasn't until the next morning when you're already there. But when did you find out that you didn't have the right color cleats?
Well, what happened was we were on the road in El Paso. And, you know, you've got some white cleats and you've got some gray cleats. And so I just took the gray ones to El Paso. And we were in El Paso. And when they told me I was coming up, and it was a Saturday because I played on Sunday. I don't know what day it was. No, maybe it was a Wednesday and I played on Thursday. Anyways, they told me I was going up, so we ended up, you know, having to find a flight, and then you know, I got there, or actually the night before, the clubhouse guy who I've known forever, texted me, hey, what kind of cleat situation we got here? And I was like, actually all I have is grays. He's like, all right, well let me look around what size, and I was like, 14. So he texted back, nobody here wears 14s, but I got some stuff in my garage from back when you played here. And so he sent me a picture of the cleats, and I had my autograph on the toe. He's like, oh, I'm gonna black this autograph out, and you can wear these. And I was like, all right. So the next day, you know, it was the day that I played, and he had a couple of my cleats from 2007 in my locker. So I figured, give it a go, and so that was cool, just to kind of wear some cleats from 07 when we had that magical season, and so that's kind of how it went.
Were those the ones that you didn't touch home in?
I don't know if those are the ones. I had a lot of the same kind of pairs, but they could have been the ones that I touched home in.
Now, did you? Oh, you said you touched home. Okay, so
then,
so then you had on the players' weekend jerseys, right? You had I touched home on it. Did you pick that, or did somebody else pick that?
No, that was Photoshop. I didn't have time to put anything on my jersey because basically I got there, it was Players Weekend. So the guy that handles the Instagram page for the Rockies and does all their social media, and he said, hey, is it cool if I put this on Instagram? And I was like, yeah, that's funny, that's fine. So he put that on there. That's not actually mine. It was just my last name on the back of my jersey.
You've had some great ovations, of course, and there's an irony, right, to hitting your first home run against the Cardinals, because the last time you hit in a Cardinals uniform, you hit a home run. But what's that feeling like to you go back a month ago, and I think you were in a good place. You were done with baseball, unless the right thing happened, to go from being out of baseball, coaching your kids, and thinking about the next step to hitting a home run in a pennant race in Colorado.
Yeah, it's been a real whirlwind. You know, it's been pretty cool, just kind of the way things have unfolded. And as a man of faith, kind of feeling like God has had his hand on this, and just really just kind of trying to embrace every day and not really worrying about where it's going or what the ending point of this is and what it looks like. And so it's been really neat, and to kind of culminate and ending up back in the major leagues with, you know, playing the Cardinals this past weekend and sort of having both fan bases and, you know, to get that ovation like you talked about was pretty humbling and pretty just surreal kind of experience of kind of showing back up to Coors Field as a Rocky where I started in 2004 and just kind of remembering pulling up to the Coors Field as a 24-year-old, so excited about playing in your first major league game to to being called back up, so to speak. I felt a little bit like being a kid again. You know, honestly, to get called back up, and the adrenaline and the excitement of going to the field in that first game back, and like you said, the crowds have been really, really cool and really humbling to get the kind of ovations and appreciation from both fan bases against the Cardinals, and then the first game against the Padres was something I'll never forget, and just really neat. Honestly, Doug, I've just kind of tried to enjoy this, and like I said, my expectations have not really been anything. I've just tried to enjoy it with the family, kind of called it our summer adventure, and enjoying each other and enjoying our time and wherever we're at, and it's been pretty cool experience.
What makes Arenado so good? Like, he's one of these guys that obviously he's a SoCal guy. He's come back home playing in Anaheim tonight. He grew up around here in Mission Viejo, and the numbers are obviously spectacular. And you know how it works when you play in Colorado. Sometimes those get kind of brushed aside, but like 31 home runs, his OBP is around 40%. He just crushes a baseball. He's an outstanding third baseman. But when you watch his approach at the plate, what impresses you?
Well, his physical skills are tremendous. So I think everyone knows that. But I think what he is he's one of those guys that really is all in on baseball, and he really eats and sleeps and breathes baseball all the time. And he's always talking about baseball, and he's talking about hitting, and he's trying to get better constantly. And he's one of these guys that knows what he's trying to do. He's constantly watching his tapes and watching the pitchers, and just really one of those guys that is very cerebral about the game and is always looking to get better and doesn't really care about accolades or money. He's in it to be great, and he loves to play, and he plays every day. He's just a tremendous competitor. He's very, very determined, and you combine that with a tremendous skill set, which he has, and I think you get an elite player, one of the best players in the game, if not the best player in the game, and somebody that's super fun to watch.
Yeah, your boy Carpenter over on the other side, he had four hits, man. I know they banged out about 16. He's hadn't had a great August, but he had an incredible July. What is it that makes Carp so good?
Well, he's another guy that shows up to the field at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's everything is baseball, and he's one of those guys that knows himself really well. He's got a very, very repeatable swing. He pulls the ball really, really well. He knows how to pull the ball in the air. He doesn't hit the ball the other way a ton, but he's so good at getting his swing off and not swinging at balls. I think that's the main thing for him, for me, is that he doesn't swing outside the strike zone. He makes pitchers throw the ball over the plate, and he's very consistent at putting a good swing on it. So he's had a tremendous year for them. I mean, I think that between he and Nolan, they've got to be the front runners for MVP, and it's pretty impressive for a guy he's got close to 34, 35 home runs and 38 doubles and a pitcher's park. He's had a tremendous season.
Matt Holliday joining us. Colorado Rockies take on the Angels tonight. One game back in the NL West. What's the clubhouse feel like? Like, you've been in championship clubhouse in Colorado. You've been in one in St. Louis. This is a team that I don't think anybody expected. With the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in the West, and of course, you look at what else is out there in the National League, I don't think anybody had these type of expectations. Does it feel like a championship or a playoff clubhouse?
Yeah, it really does. I think there's a lot of talent here that's maybe underappreciated a little bit at this point. Trevor Story's got high-end talent, like big-time athlete. There's baseball players all over the field. I mean, obviously, from a clubhouse standpoint, it's just been a few days, so I'm still kind of enjoying the lay of the land and figuring out roles and who's does what and all those things. But it seems like a really cohesive group. And I think the talent is very strong. I think the pitching, the young pitching and the rotation is really good. So I think it's definitely a playoff caliber team. And that was one of the things that got me so excited about potentially chasing this opportunity was the potential for this team to get into the postseason and then make a run into it.
All right, what about you? You mentioned on how you're just taking it day by day and you're really comfortable where you are. What about you as a baseball player, right? Because I think anybody else looks at your baseball card and is like, he's how old? And he's doing this. Like, how have you how do you think you're different as a hitter? Especially, it's one thing, you know, last year rehabbing in New York or previous seasons when you're rehabbing, you take. But when you're actually away from the game, I feel like sometimes you learn more about yourself and things you would do differently if you got a different opportunity. Are you the same guy? Or are you different than you were, especially early in the season last year in New York?
You know, I'm really enjoying this more. And I think as you look back at your career, for me, especially this year, and not knowing whether I was going to play again or what, you know, God had in store for me, I think that as athletes, sometimes we get caught up in the grind a little bit too much. And we don't enjoy what we're doing. We don't enjoy the successes. It's more of a relief than having some joy that you're actually getting to play a game and you get to help, you know, the team and enjoying these moments instead of just being relieved for a moment and then it's on to the next at bat or it's on to the next play. And sometimes, you know, we just grind it so hard that you look back at the end of the season and you say, well, did I really even enjoy that? And so that's something that I've really felt like that I learned from and that I'm trying to enjoy this and have another opportunity to play and play in a pennant race, like you said. And I feel good. I feel good, you know, swinging the bat. I feel as good, honestly, as I have in a while as far as having at bats, being confident in my swing and what I'm doing. So I'm excited about my opportunities, which I'm not sure what they're going to be and how consistent at bats. I think I'm going to play against most lefties. And probably have some good opportunities to pinch hit and we'll see. I don't know exactly how this is going to look, but I'm pretty confident in where I'm at and trying to enjoy it.
All right, you DH'ing tonight? Or are you playing? Because
I don't know. I hadn't seen a lineup yet. I don't think I put it up. I'm here, but I haven't seen it.
All right, stay ready. And by the way, what did I say? It was 7 5/8? No, seven and three eighths. 7 5/8 is your size, right?
I was gonna say, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's not that big. But 7 7/3/8, I mean, like,
it's good size.
Yeah. Once you get to 8, now you get Jughead, you get to, man, how does that guy stand up? Once you get below 7, unless you're a child like my son's, then you get to Beetlejuice, right? That's when you start getting
those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just so we're clear, Matt Holliday, Rockies taking on the Angels tonight. I will. We will catch up sometime here on this West Coast Swing. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. All right, Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. And now.
Colin Cowherd's getting ready for the NFL season. He had this to say about Dak Prescott.
I've always had great appreciation for people who can stabilize things. People can have ceilings. I'm okay with it. But stabilization is a real thing. It's why I've always defended Doc Rivers of the Clippers. They were a grease fire for 40 years. He has stabilized them. Did you watch the Cowboys last night? 8 turnovers. Do you know the last time they looked like that? When Tony Romo got hurt before they drafted Dak Prescott. That's what they looked like. Colin, they were playing with backups last night. Yeah, so was Arizona. Arizona's backups didn't have 8 turnovers. This is what I've said about Dak Prescott. Zeke fire. Dez fire. Jerry's always making noise. Biggest brand in the league. Since Dak Prescott has arrived with the loudest franchise in America, not football franchise, loudest sports franchise in North America is the Dallas Cowboys. He has started 32 games, legit starts. They have not only won 22 of 32, but of the remaining 10, they have been in the game for 5 of 10, one possession. Dak Prescott is the great stabilizer.
Okay. He's fine. But here's the important thing. If he's the great stabilizer and he is solid, that's important. Showing up at work and being solid is great. But is he Alex Smith? Right? Alex Smith is a stabilizer. Alex Smith was a stabilizer in San Francisco. Remember, it was 7 years before he ultimately hit, and then finally he was solid there, and they were like, you know what? We love Alex. We really like Alex Smith. We don't love Alex Smith, and so we're going to go with Colin Kaepernick, who gives us a shot at the Super Bowl, and he did get them past that next step. And then Alex Smith goes to Kansas City, and he's been stable, and he's been good. And matter of fact, he had his best season as a pro in what the Kansas City Chiefs do. We need somebody who can throw us to a Super Bowl, throw us to a playoff game. And I don't even know if Dak is Alex Smith at this point in his career in terms of his efficiency. Both are very mobile in and out of the pocket. Both are solid dudes without bad reputations at all. But you're giving Dak. Dak walked into a loaded deck. Oh, Dak was great 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Dez Bryant still had it. 2 years ago, so did Jace Witten. 2 years ago, it was the best offensive line in the league. 2 years ago, you had the best running back in the league. A lot of dudes would kill for that team they had 2 years ago. Wow, it was unstable. Like, that's not necessarily true. Tony Romo was hurt. Right? Tony Romo won 13 games 2 years before that. Why? Because they had dudes all over the place. So, are you a guy that can not hold us back from winning? Or are you a guy that allows us to win? And I think Dak is a guy who won't hold them back from winning, but I don't believe that Dak Prescott is a guy who allows them to win or forces them to win.